Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Vizsla Silver, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol VZLA and the NYSE under the symbol, same symbol, VZLA. We are chatting again with the president and CEO, Mike Connert. Now, Vizsla Silver is focused at the Panuco project in Mexico. The company already released a silver equivalent resource of over 100 million ounces. That was the initial resource from this asset. And that happened all within about a two-year period of drilling. That was released tail end of 2021. Now, Mike, I understand that there is still a lot of drilling ongoing to continue to expand this resource and also make some new discoveries. I do want to focus big picture then in terms of catalysts coming over the next couple months and through the rest of this year. Give us a broad overview then of this drill program that is ongoing and the goals around that program, please.
Absolutely. So, you know, we've had an excellent year so far at the project, but at the Panuco project, it's just been incredible. And, you know, internally, we like to say this is what an exploration program that's done well looks like, because we've been delivering on that maiden resource where we exceeded expectations, over 106 million ounces in combined categories there, really quite exceptional. And, you know, if you look at the sensitivities to higher cutoffs, you know, you have some excellent grade and an area that has incredible potential for early mining as well at Napoleon. So, you know, the foundation of the company is based around this resource. We're continuing now going forward in this year here. We're expanding that resource at Napoleon and Tijitos primarily. Those are our two centers of gravity there. And we're extending Napoleon down plunge and at depth, and drilling there has gone very, very well. And at Tijitos, we're expanding along the new Copala vein structure there, and we've been seeing some high grades and really some excellent potential there at Copala to add ounces quite rapidly. So, you know, in the area of growing our existing resource, the company is kicking goals, and we're excited about that. And then in the area of discovery, we've got multiple rigs around the property that are drilling new targets and likely making new discoveries that we'll be able to announce coming up here in the future. So that's really quite exciting. And I personally view this project and this district here as, you know, as one of the best new discoveries and the best new districts in modern history here in Mexico. And I think we're going to be making many, many discoveries and growing this resource here. But I think it has the potential to be, you know, well over this existing resource here and probably in the hundreds of millions of ounces of silver by the time we're through here.
Well, Mike, it's an exciting time for the company to have this much drilling going on, not just building resources, but also true discovery drilling. And I know you've kind of broken your whole exploration focus down into three main areas. You've got that western block, the central block, and the eastern block. But you put out some news just last month that you're working on, I guess it's the central block, the Animas area, and it said there's kind of two main zones you're focused on, the Rosarita zone and the Covelas zone. So maybe just bring us up to speed on what's going on there in the central block.
Yeah, you know, central block offers a lot of potential here. It's an area that we started off at, and you know, Animas is about a 7 kilometer long vein formation, vein structure here that, you know, has been the center of historic mining for hundreds of years, and really the area that was you know, the historic center of mass for the district. And we had a couple of theories. You know, originally we were drilling under old workings there, and we found some extensions of the high grade mineralization at depth under the water table, because there's 7 main ore shoot structures that have been mined out. You know, historically we believe it to be about 100 million ounces of silver equivalent taken out of that Animas area. But there's other ore shoots that haven't been exploited on trend there further to the north. And so Rosarito and Covias, both are those examples of those type of ore shoots there that haven't been fully exploited. And we're finding continuation of mineralization at depth there, which is really quite exciting. I see that area as you know, feeding into an update in resource size as well. So, I really like that northern area of Animas. And then further to the south, we're drilling at San Antonio. There's a few different names for it, but San Antonio or Los Generales. Mojo Kwan is another name for that kind of group of structures down there in the middle of the central area on the Cordon de Loro vein. So there's you know, there's good potential for us to make new discoveries there and to expand the existing discoveries. So, you know, obviously the Western Block, where we have Napoleon, Tijitos, Copala, you know, many of these other structures there, you know, that's going to continue to grow, and that's the main focus. But we also have, you know, rigs turning in the central area, as well as the eastern area as well, too. So there's lots of potential for us to continue to expand resources here across the district. And, you know, to give you a sense of scale, it's about 7 or 8 kilometers as the crow flies from Napoleon to Rosarito. And then from there, that kind of gets you to the, you know, the center of the district. And then to the east is another 5 kilometers or so as the crow flies. So it's a huge district, and we're really just scratching the surface of it here.
So, Mike, company-wise, how do you go about ranking these new discoveries or even these new targets? With 13 drill rigs, you do have the ability to drill all of these targets, but when you're going through the internal work of saying, okay, this is what we hit at this new target, what ranks higher? Is it close to infrastructure? Is it closer to surface type of hits? Is it the higher grade components? Higher grade is always nice, but you do always need to factor in economics. How do you guys internally go about ranking these discoveries?
Yeah, the big thing for us is to actually rank and prioritize our targets based on the potential for adding meaningful ounces at a, you know, at a reasonable grade. So, you know, if we wanted to, we could go around and you know, hit kilo plus, you know, drill targets and, you know, create news releases and things like that. But, you know, you'll notice that what we do is actually, you know, group all of our drill data into one large release where we give, you know, meaningful updates on the expansion of resources really at these discoveries. So in order for us to prioritize a drill target, it has to show us the potential to have, you know, likely at a minimum 10 million ounces of silver equivalent, but we like to see areas that could have, you know, 10 to 40 plus million ounces. You know, a good example of that is Copala. You know, Copala was a blind discovery and now is adding meaningful ounces as we continue to drill. You know, we look for that elsewhere in the district to ensure that we're focusing our efforts and our investment in the right position, right area.
Well, Mike, just kind of piggybacking off that same theme, and that is maybe your cost of discovery per ounce in the ground. When people hear drill programs that have 13 drill rigs going, when a lot of companies only have 1, 2, maybe 3 or 4, the concern from some investors may be, hey, are they blowing a lot of money just, you know, going out and doing wildcat drilling, or are they going to be building value for shareholders? So what would you say to investors just as far as how the company approaches their cost of discovery and how will those 13 drill rigs build value for Vizsla shareholders?
Well, you know, our cost of discovery is, you know, everything included, including what we paid for the option payments last year, salaries, you know, G&A, is about 23 cents an ounce. That's really, really capital efficient there. The drilling has an incredible ROI, you know, so I think, you know, from that standpoint, we're doing very well. And we're actually only doing one rig of wildcat, quote unquote, drilling, which, you know, even then isn't really wildcat. We've worked up these targets over the last couple of years from, you know, mapping and sampling programs out to the east. Most of the drills are either following up on known areas of resources or expanding the new resources that we have to the west. So, it's definitely capital efficient drilling, and, you know, we're benefiting from that.
One other thing I want to discuss too, Mike, is you guys have recently built out your executive team. You brought on a new chief operating officer and a new vice president of exploration. Let's start with the chief operating officer, because even within that news release, it says that this individual is going to be responsible for development in a sense. So that brings up the question of, are you guys going to be taking some of these known ounces into a development type scenario? Please break down the role of the new chief operating officer and what the company's focus is going to be when it comes to potential development.
Yeah, absolutely. So Marty Dupuy was one of our first employees after we, you know, started to make some new discoveries without actually even having made Napoleon. So Marty's been with the company tech services, VP of tech services, quite early in the company's history. And so he's moved up and we've promoted him now to COO. And Marty brings in specific experience with, you know, some sizable operations, most notably probably is the Dolores mine for Pan American where he spent, I believe, a decade there. So he's very well versed in operations and really understands the goals here with the company. So we're very happy to have Marty take that role of COO. And as we move towards production and development, it's very important that we emphasize this role. And so, we've been working on a vision of, the idea of having a certain level of production per annum as a target, as well as a certain resource base, for the district as well. So, Marty will help us move towards that goal of being a very large scale producer. We've always stated that we want to be a large scale producer of silver in Mexico. And, certainly I can see that happening here with the excellent infrastructure that we have. And the incredible resources that we're putting together here.
Well, Mike, let's maybe dig in a little bit more to this topic, because there's always a lot of buzz about Vizsla as far as you could fast track into production much faster than other companies, having the El Coco mill in place and just having that infrastructure already there. But there's the other argument on the other side of that that's like, hey, there's no rush in that, because why not build and grow more resources first with the drill bit like you're doing? So what kind of timeline are you looking at? Is it more efficient for the company just to keep growing their asset base right now? Or is it really something where you think putting out some economic studies and moving towards production would be in the near to foreseeable future?
Well, those things aren't mutually exclusive in my opinion. So, one thing is for sure, it doesn't make sense for us to stop drilling now. I think everybody can agree with that, because, all of our resource areas, each of the resource areas are open for expansion. The resources haven't been closed off to exploration. So it makes no sense to stop while we're expanding with kind of easy ounces to, continue to grow. But of course, in the background, we are doing all of that work. We have internal scoping studies. We look at trade-offs with, using the El Coco mill. We have, a very robust, team and program in place to take this towards studies and into production. But, you really don't want to shortchange yourself by doing a study or move into production with a resource that's not suitable for the, for the district. And so, if we were to stop at, say, 60 million ounces and put that into a mine plan, it wouldn't make any sense, because it wouldn't be well fitted for the scope and the scale of what we see here, which is, something that's more comparable to the big districts in Mexico, like, Palmarejo or San Dimas or, things of those nature. So, for us, it's all about, not wasting the opportunity that we have here, which is to build, something that I think is just a very, very large district, and something that can be a very inexpensive, low capex way for meaningful silver production in Mexico. So, we're working down two parallel paths, exploration, adding ounces, and moving towards production.
Okay. So I appreciate that update there, Mike. Before we get you out of here, just a quick update in terms of cash in the bank to continue with this kind of dual tact growth that the company is going through.
Yeah, so we have over $20 million. We have around $22-23 million in the bank right now, keeping us well funded, and we're very active with our drilling, but we're doing it in a very cost effective manner. So we're in an excellent position.
Okay, Mike, really appreciate the update. If anybody has any follow-up questions, preferably focused on the growth avenues of the company, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shat@kereport.com. We will get those answered for you. In full disclosure, Shat is a shareholder of Vizsla Silver. Mike, keep us up to date on future news. I do appreciate this update, and we will be having you back on the show in short order to keep everybody up to speed on all the drilling that's going on.
Great. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.